Ah, what a nice early spring day for a stroll here on Main Street in Amesbury, Massachusetts.
It is indeed.
And we park kind of far away. I'm getting parched. Think we could stop somewhere and get a drink?
We absolutely can, Ray. Nice. And we're almost there, too. Our destination's just right up there on the left.
Okay, we're walking next to Amesbury Middle School right now.
Yep. And where we're headed is that little patio area-looking thing right over there.
Okay. I see a short stone wall, maybe 15 feet back from the sidewalk. It's a small area, and there's some kind of monument there in the back.
Ray, this is our destination. A public water fountain that's been here in some form since 1796. It was dug and given freely as a gift from someone who nearly died of thirst. We're in Amesbury to check out the Captain's Well. Hello, I'm Jeff Belanger.
And I'm Ray Osier. Welcome to episode 341 of the New England Legends Podcast. And thanks for joining us on our mission to chronicle every legend in New England one story at a time. Whether it's roadside oddities, haunts, monsters, aliens, or just the plain weird, we want to know about it. Did you know most of our story leads come from you? This one did. Thanks to Robert for tipping us off. If you've got a strange story you think we should check out, contact us anytime through our website.
We'll dig for the roots of the Captain's Well right after this word from our sponsor.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow. How have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow! How have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Now, this isn't the first public water well we've looked into, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. Back in episode 325, we checked out the legendary fountain of Providence, Rhode Island.
I guess people have different reasons for putting up free public water sources.
They do, and all of them are noble for one reason or another, and I'm a fan of any time people try to help out others.
Well, it says a lot about someone's character.
It does. So this well has been here for more than 2 centuries, and since it was first dug by Captain Valentine Bagley, its legend has only grown. But the story got a huge shot in the arm when it was immortalized in a poem by John Greenleaf Whittier.
Man, Whittier has covered some great legends in his poems over the years, hasn't he?
He has. And to find out how this well got here on Main Street in Amesbury, let's head back to the year 1792.
It's July of 1792, and we're sailing aboard a ship called the Commerce of Boston in the Red Sea. Waters are rough and the winds are high, and we're getting dangerously close to the rocky shores of Arabia near Cape Morbet.
The crew is fighting the seas and wind as best they can, but they can only do so much. For the 19-year-old captain's mate, Valentine Bagley, this is the worst he's seen, and he's scared.
No.
The Commerce of Boston has just hit the rocks hard. That did not sound good.
I'm looking over the bow. Oh, man, this ship is done for. It's wrecked and broken up pretty bad.
I think we need to stay put until this storm clears. We're beached enough that we're not going to sink.
Oh,
By the time the storm passes, the 25 crew members take the longboats and all the supplies they can manage to shore.
Man, this is a desolate area. Mm. I don't see much but sand and rocky hills for miles around. The crew makes a camp near the shore.
The area seems safe enough. There's no sign of... Wait a minute.
Oh, there's a group of more than a dozen men riding on camels, and they're closing in on the camp. Oh, they've got spears and blades out at the ready. I don't like the look of this. The crew of the Commerce of Boston are completely outmatched. The group of Bedouins raids the camp, stealing almost everything. They even take the men's clothes, leaving some of them shirtless.
Some of the sailors are making signs and pleading to at least leave them some clothes so the sun doesn't scorch them. The bandits agree and leave some shirts behind before moving off.
The men are dazed and scared. No supplies, no food, no water. They recognize the danger they're in. Lost in a strange land, their only choice is to follow the coast in the hopes of finding rescue, a town, some fresh water, anything that might keep them alive.
For hours, the men walk. They spot a few locals, but quickly run off at the sight of these strangers. Neither the group of men or the local people know who is a greater danger to who.
Thirsty, hungry, tired. The men plod on until finally they spot some hope.
Oh, there's a dog barking up there.
If there's a dog, there's got to be some water nearby somewhere.
That's a good point. The group quickens their pace and heads up the hill towards the rocks ahead.
More hours pass, but no food or water can be found. The dog has run off. Obviously, he knew where to go, but he was too fast for the men to follow.
Some of the men are growing desperate. Some decided to split up. A small group wander off in another direction, hoping to find something. Two others, Mr. Seaver and Mr. Ockington, decide to head off in another direction. No plans are made to try and regroup. It's turning into every man for himself.
And you can't blame them.
No.
The heat from the sun is getting unbearable. If they spread out, maybe someone can find help and come back for the others. Still, things look bleak. Everyone is so thirsty. Three of the men are too weak to go on. They each lie down in the scorching sun, and the others can't help them. They understand to stop in this desert heat is to die. There's a kind of silent understanding that though the three men who just collapsed in the sun are still breathing, they won't be for long. The rest must carry on to try to find food and water.
The only shade I can see is up ahead in the shadow of some of those boulders. As the sun starts to dip lower in the sky, there's a little relief behind the rocks. The men head further up the small mountain in front of them. As night falls, the group descends the other side, hoping to find a stream or anything that might be of use. But there's nothing. They need to be careful not to exert themselves more than they have to. If they sweat too much, dehydration will come at a much faster pace.
By morning, the men have found no fresh water. A few venture back up the hill to look for a spring or anything that might help. Things are looking bleak. Valentine Bagley, who has never been much for religion, turns his gaze skyward. He sees a vision of his home back in Amesbury, Massachusetts. He vows to God that if he should survive this, he'll build a monument to his Lord back home.
The remaining men walk for hours, heading further inland. Suddenly, up ahead, they spot two women walking with goatskins full of water. The castaways plead and make signals begging for water. The women spear some for each of them. Now they're motioning in the direction where the water came from.
The men continue their trek, slightly rejuvenated after having a drink of water, and soon come upon a man fishing by the shore. They make motions and hand signals of their thirst, and the man quickly figures out their plight and beckons them to follow. After walking a ways, the kind stranger guides the castaways to a valley.
Oh, look up ahead. There's a bunch of birds down there.
There must be water nearby.
Sure enough, there's a spring near the birds. Each man in the group drinks his fill.
Once rested, the group sets out again. But Mr. Williams' strength is failing him. The water helped, but he can't keep up. He sits himself down, too exhausted to go on. And the rest of his crew leaves him to the mercy of God.
In the coming days, the survivors continue to dwindle. They occasionally find water, sometimes a village that feeds them, but they keep moving towards a port in the hopes of rescue. Even if they survive the brutal environment and sun, there's always the danger of being attacked or sold into slavery by the locals. For weeks, they march until, finally, There are only 8 left alive when they reach the port and find a ship to get them to England and then back to America.
By the time he reaches Boston and then back home to Amesbury, Bagley finds himself grateful to be alive and back home. He wastes no time in keeping his word to God. Bagley approaches the roadside of his property and begins to dig.
For days, Bagley toils in the dirt, digging away. When a neighbor asks if he's digging for gold, the young man replies he's looking for something much more precious. He's digging for water.
With the well established, Bagley builds a trough and shack over the well so man and beast may drink freely. The well was dug near the road at the edge of the property so anyone passing by who needed a drink could help themselves. And that brings us back to today.
Captain Bagley died in 1839, but not before getting to know local poet John Greenleaf Whittier, who immortalized Bagley's story in this 1889 poem titled The Captain's Well.
The poem was one of Whittier's last long poems. Whittier then died in 1892.
At the site of the Captain's Well today, the wooden shack is long gone. Now there's a stone monument in the back with an embossed portrait of Captain Bagley. Across the top, the words, The Captain's Well, is engraved. And on either side of the portrait are two verses from John Greenleaf Whittier's poem.
Starting from the left, it reads, And if I ever reach my home again, where earth has springs and the sky has rain, I will dig a well for the passers-by, and none shall suffer from thirst as I. Now the Lord be thanks, I am back again, where earth has springs and the skies have rain. And the well I promised by omen sea, I am digging for him in Amesbury.
Captain Valentine Bagley is buried in Bartlett Cemetery, which is only a short walk from here.
I love that this well has survived for centuries. When Valentine Bagley first dug this well, it must have taken a while for word to spread that it was for everyone. The reason behind the well probably got lost after Bagley's death in 1839, but the legend came roaring back once it was immortalized in a poem by a local master. A story so powerful that a man who lived 2 centuries ago left a legacy and a roadside monument that will offer anyone who passes by the most important and valuable thing you could ever need. Water.
And that brings us to After the Legend, where we dig a little deeper into this week's legend and sometimes veer off course.
Maybe the only thing more important than water is our Patreon patrons, but I don't want to oversell it. If you enjoy our podcast twice each week, then please thank one of our patrons. They financially support everything we do, from our hosting and travel costs to our marketing and production. They help so much. If everyone kicked in just $3 per month, imagine how far we could take this community. Just $3. It's like buying me and Ray a cup of coffee. That would have to split. And for that, you get early ad-free access to new episodes, plus bonus episodes and content only for them. We'd appreciate it if you'd head over to patreon.com/New England Legends to sign up. And if you want to see some pictures of the Captain's Well in Amesbury, click on the link in our episode description, or go to our website and click on episode 341.
I lived in Amesbury for quite some time.
You lived in Amesbury for a few years.
A few years. We owned a house there, our first house.
Yeah.
And I probably walked by this thing many times, never stopped to look.
I figured you would have like run a hose to your house to be like, free water. Why should I pay for water?
Why not?
It's like hundreds and hundreds of feet of hose down the street.
But it's neat. I mean, you know, we talk about legends in every town. Amesbury's a small town, so it's a place that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
It's amazing that sometimes these legends are right in your own backyard.
I promise you, the legends you are least likely to see are the ones you live near.
Right?
Because we fall into this trap. All the cool things are far away.
Yeah.
And there's lots of cool things that are far away, no question. But you live far away from lots of people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And I think sometimes, take a look around.
Yeah.
You got some great weirdness, probably like you, pass by it every day, and you'd never stop to look at it.
No, you're focused on the cars driving by, the movie theater,
gotta
the subway downtown.
Yeah.
Right. So you're not looking for the little things. But yeah, we need to open our eyes a little bit more, I think, as a society. Stop looking down at your phone and look up to the sky.
Unless you're looking at the New England Legends app, where
that's
you're like, oh,
right.
here's where that pin is, right?
So I was in Portsmouth over the weekend, and my thought was, oh, I got to go on the app, and I never did.
Oh, good.
I took a few steps, and I lost the thought, and I never looked it up.
Do as we say, not as we do.
I know. And I was so excited when I first thought of it. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to go check out some legends around, because I know we've hit a lot of places in Portsmouth.
One of my favorite comments or emails that we get on the podcast is when we'll post an episode to social media, or we get an email, or someone will say like, oh my gosh, this is in my town. I didn't even know it was here.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to go check it out. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
Because I know you've, and by the way, I don't begrudge you at all. We've all fallen under the trap of saying, well, there's nothing cool here, you know.
Sure.
And,
oh, yeah.
And that's just not fair.
This town's so boring. Nothing here.
Yeah. You got a 200-year-old well. I do want to point out something. There's an epic tale of what the castaways went through. Mm. And you can read it online. We'll post a link. It's from a journal called, ready for this? The title is long. A Journal of the Travels and Sufferings of Daniel Saunders Jr., a Mariner on Board the Ship Commerce of Boston, Samuel Johnson Commander, which was cast away near Cape Morabet on the coast of Arabia, July 10th, 1792.
Anyway, this person didn't have an editor.
Right. They're just like, like, should I just keep going? Like, no, that's the book, right? Like, it just, and then it just continues. But it's a great read. It's on archive.org, which is an incredible resource. We'll post a link if you want to read the whole thing. It's many pages that has lots of details over what happened. We had to sort of abbreviate because,
sure.
You know.
What a bad situation to be in.
Terrible.
Because you never see the end, or you might see the end a little too clear.
Yeah.
But you just don't see an end of that walk. Where's the water?
Right.
We got to find something.
Water is the most, I mean, we take it for granted, right? But it's the fundamental building block. Like you can go a few days without food, but you can't go that long without water.
No.
Right? Like, you know, and it's hot. You're sweating. Every drop of sweat is more water you're losing.
Sure.
And you're right next to the ocean.
Yeah.
And you can't drink any of it.
Right.
Because that'll kill you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll dehydrate you. That salt water will dehydrate you so fast. And then I know there's a religious tone to this story, and we try to avoid that when possible, but it reminded me of that, the saying, there are no atheists in a foxhole.
I love that saying.
It's true.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
It's so
you're going
to
turn at some point.
Yeah, it's you're like, oh, there's all religion is all hogwash, and then you're like, I have nothing but a prayer left to give. Right.
Not
like,
sure if you're up there, but if you're listening and you're real, help me out.
I could use a hand here, and he got one, and he kept his word, and he dug this well that's still there to today. But that's But yeah, we find religion in all kinds of ways. Usually when you're up against the wall.
Yeah.
And it all looks bleak.
Everyone thinks you're going well.
No, yeah, when things are going well, you're like, obviously I don't need, you know, faith or whatever. And when I say, I don't like to use the word religion, because I think religion
is faith. I think you have to
faith.
Say
faith and spirituality.
I'm spiritual.
Is a good thing.
Yeah.
Religion is flawed. You know, find me a good one and I'm listening.
Right.
But it's not deities that run religion. It's flawed human people that run religions.
Well, they were all created by man.
Yeah, and the rules and the sub-rules. And,
Whereas faith is, or spirituality is from within oneself.
Right. I mean, the way we were raised, we were told if we accidentally had a hamburger on Friday, we're going to go to hell.
Isn't it Lent now, I think?
that didn't stick, did it?
It did not. You know what my favorite joke was?
What?
I gave up Lent.
Yeah, that's so true. So yeah, no, it's, and I remember being a kid and like it was school lunch or something and I grabbed a burger because that's what was there and you start eating it and you go, oh no.
Yeah, oops.
I had this thing and so.
Well, enjoy hell.
So imagine like you're at the pearly gates and they're like, you've done a lot of good stuff. I'm looking at all this like, seriously, not only would you get in, but you might even be sainted.
Sure.
However.
Yeah. Remember that time?
You were 10. How is that cheeseburger? Doesn't taste so good now, does it?
Yeah.
Down you go.
We take that very seriously up here.
Yeah, that.
Never mind the charity work.
We mean it. And so down you go. And I'm like, well, if we were in the Gregorian calendar, it wasn't even Friday.
Ah,
the
there
Julian
you go.
Calendar? Like, which one are you looking at?
You already have your argument ready.
I'm
love
totally
it.
Totally ready. Yeah. The leap days and stuff like that. You don't know what that Friday was.
I think it's going to be great getting up there and they're going to be like, you're going to be like, I'm so sorry I did. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? We don't see a thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got other things to worry about up here. We're not watching you.
Yeah, we're not watching.
Let's just assume you're nice. Come on in.
Yeah. But those pork rinds, that was just a bad choice. I mean, it's not a sin. Just a bad idea. Remember the heartburn?
Was fish a thing on Friday? Was that a thing?
I think fish was okay.
Fish was okay.
You could have fish, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't even know where chicken fell, come to think of it.
No, neither does the chicken.
No, right. Anyway.
I don't know what that meant.
But
sounded
yeah,
funny in my head.
It's a great well, and I love that someone just said like this is for anyone who needs it, and what a cool thing.
Well, if you want to know how you can help us, click the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts, post a review for us, share an episode on your social media, and tell a friend or two about us. That's how this community continues to grow and find new wicked strange tales. You can also download our free New England Legends app for your smartphone so you can follow along in your own travels.
Unless you're Ray in Portsmouth.
And check out our New England Legends Facebook group.
We'd like to thank our sponsors. Thank you so much to our Patreon patrons. And our theme music is by John Judd.
Until next time, remember,
the bizarre is closer than you think.